Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Clarence Crawford, Chief Financial Officer and Chief Administrative Officer of the Patent and Trademark Office. Joining us in our conversation is another PwC partner, Steve Watson.
Mr. Crawford, in your last segment, you discussed your responsibilities, a wide-ranging set of responsibilities. Can you tell us a little bit about your career and the positions you've held that prepared you to handle that diverse set of responsibilities?
Sure. I started out as a police cadet and police officer in the District of Columbia. And I went to school at night as a police officer and earned my bachelor's and graduate degree. My graduate degree has a concentration in financial management. I had decided I wanted to be the chief of police in the district, and then realized, nope, I want to go to something else. I decided then I wanted to be a city manager, and decided, well, I'm going to have to leave the police department to do that. One day I happened to be at school, and I saw an announcement for the Presidential Management Intern Program. I didn't know what it was. I figured, well, I'll apply, but I cannot imagine that the federal government would have anything of any interest to me. And maybe I'll go do it for 2 or 3 years if I'm selected, and I'll go back and into city management. Well, that was in 1979, and I've been with the federal government ever since. I went over to the Internal Revenue Service and as a presidential management intern. And everyone thought with my background, I would end up either in the criminal investigation division or in the budget or finance arena. And what I ended up doing was going to Atlanta, moving the family to Atlanta to be a labor relations specialist for about 2 or 3 years in Atlanta. Came back to Washington as a planning officer in strategic planning. Went over to the research division where we did quantitative research on tax compliance. Had a wonderful time there. A budget officer for IRS's headquarters budget, director of planning and project management, the tax systems modernization. I had responsibility for developing the project management system, doing the planning, the budgeting. I went over to the general accounting office into their SES candidate development program. And I concluded, well, I'd probably end up auditing the IRS. I would be in law enforcement. I would do something maybe in financial management. My first assignment out of the SES candidate program was to be the associate director for education and employment. So I'm looking at K through 12, student loans, job training programs. And my first day on the job in that area, I testified before the Congress on gender equity issues. So I arrived on a Monday. I testified as GL's lead witness before the Congress on Tuesday on gender equity. Had a wonderful time there. We did a lot of work for the Appropriations Committee, so I learned a lot about appropriations. Did a lot of testifying before the committees, especially on the Senate side. And from there, I was asked to go to the National Security and International Affairs Division as one of the deputy directors there. I had no background in this area either. We were changing our job processes, our audit processes. I'm very happy about what we did. We significantly improved the timeliness of our products. We reduced the cycle time and the cost of those products. We earned the highest quality score ever given for an assignment. We increased our usefulness to the Congress. I decided I wanted to return to the executive branch. I wanted to get back into the executive branch. So I applied for and was selected for the associate director for administration position in the Office of Management and Budget in the White House. There, I learned an incredible amount. I had never worked at OMB before. This gave me some insight then to understand how OMB interacts with the agencies, how OMB supports a president, how OMB works with the domestic policy councils. So it gave me, again, another piece, of, especially on the financial and administrative side, of how government gets done. I had seen it on the congressional side, working with the members and the chairs, but now having an opportunity to see it at OMB and see how it happens in the in the executive office of the president. And in November of 99, I was very fortunate to be selected as the CFO, CAO for the Patent and Trademark Office. I was very interested in the organization. I wanted to go someplace that wasn't so large that you... Some places are just so large that driving change is almost overwhelming. Patent and Trademark Office is big, but it's not too big. The mission is easily understood. They're great people. And most importantly, everything I had read about them and understood about them, this organization was committed to improvement and to quality and willing to try new things.
In our last segment, you talked about the technology that's being used at PTO, and I had done some research in preparation for our interview and learned about a large acquisition to supply PTO with desktop, laptops, and handheld computers. Could you tell us about this project, its goals?
It's we call it the SMART contract. It's a contract to replace our desktop hardware. I think the real story is not the numbers of PCs that we're buying or the handheld. The real story is the story behind the story, the why. We recognize that technology is going to be an increasingly important part of how we do business, whether it is processing applications or whether it's needed as part of our recruitment and retention strategy for top-flight talent. The PTO has made a number of key investments over the years. We've greatly improved our automated search systems. We have issued 6 million patents. Part of the process of determining whether an invention is patentable is you have to look at all of the prior patents. You have to search those. You have to search what we call non-patent literature, other literature where innovation may be referenced. You also have to search foreign literature. Well, with our search systems, it has allowed us in part to keep pace with the massive growth that we have seen over the past few years. It also provides us with some other benefits. We're now far enough along that we're now getting within 2 or 3 years of rolling out the next generation of technology. And this will allow us to better manage how our files. Right now, we have paper files. We have paper files that are, if you go to some of our rooms, that are probably 12 to 15 feet high. We have a warehouse full. It's overwhelming to see the amount of paper that's in our active files. Well, if you have paper, sometimes you have things get lost. If you have paper and it's actively being examined, as I said, we're in 18 buildings on 118 floors. So if an applicant needs to send in an amendment, just the logistics of trying to figure out where in Crystal City or maybe in one of our storage facilities so that we can associate that amendment with the actual application. We've already done some studies, and we believe that that we're going to be able to bring down our cost of operations and handling paper. And again, this is the paper handling is one of the areas where over the years the organization made some wise decisions, and that would be to hire contractors versus career employees, and recognize that within a few years, hopefully much of the paper handling will go away. It also serves as a recruitment and retention tool for us. The technology gives us an ability to attract and retain top talent. When you're in the schools or in the private sector trying to bring in electrical engineers or computer scientists, they expect to have not necessarily state-of-the-art, but clearly very useful tools to do their jobs. As we move to more of a digital environment, people will need to be able to have systems that allow them to examine and analyze applications on a computer screen versus paper. I don't think we'll ever get rid of all paper, but I think our ability to receive applications, to process and manage that, we'll be able to do electronically. This is, again, part of our strategy of sort of an electronic, more of our electronic environment. We are the first intellectual property organization in the world to receive both patent and trademark applications over the internet. An applicant can file anywhere in the world an application with us. You can come online and you can check the status of your application. You can pay any fees. You can go, for example, and research issued patents back to 1790 over the internet. We envision down the road, we have a work at home program that has been very successful. With the work at home program, we have been able to hold on to a number of our employees that probably would have gone otherwise. And I think down the road, you're going to see work at home will increasingly mean working outside of Washington metropolitan area.
That's a good stopping point because it's time for a break. Rejoin us after the break as we continue our discussion with Clarence Crawford of PTO. This is the Business of Government Hour.